Our lesson today comes from Matthew, from chapter 5, verses 38 to 48. Hear God's word. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. But then you're working out of your own true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. May God give us understanding of this reading, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Have you ever been bullied? Michael Cobbler tells a story that he remembers from childhood, a situation where he was on his way to school one morning. His mom had packed him a great lunch with his favorite chocolate chip cookies. It was only a short walk, about a block and a half, but on the way he ran into the neighborhood bully, who immediately started messing with him. "Give me your lunch, punk!" They went back and forth, and Michael told him, "No, this is my lunch. My mom's got my favorite cookies in here. I'm not giving it to you." But the bully was persistent. And finally, when Michael didn't respond, he punched him. And the next thing you know, Michael found himself on the ground with the bully taking off with his lunch. He was angry. He was angry. He was hungry. And when he came home that day from school, he was very quiet. And his mother knew something wasn't right. So she asked him, "So, Michael, how was school today?" "I'm gonna kill him." "Michael, are you okay?" "I'm gonna kill him." "Tell me what happened, Michael." So Michael told her. And she said, "Michael, come on, let's get something to eat. Put down your homework for now. You and I, we've got something to do. But you're going to need to do exactly as I say." Well, the next morning, Michael headed off to school, and he ran into the bully again. And Michael said, "Oh, I've got a special lunch for you. I've got cookies for you." And the bully looked a little nervous about that. "What do you mean?" I've got cookies for you. Mom and I made them for you." "How do I know they're not poison?" "Well, they're good. Try them." Well, the bully grabbed the lunch, and he handed it off to one of the other guys in the gang. And he said, "Try them." Well, the other boy ate the cookies. He didn't seem any worse for wear. He was still standing. He didn't die. So they took the bag and they left. The next day, Michael initiated contact and said, "Oh, I've got something for you. I've got cookies for you." And the bully looked a little nervous. "How do I know this isn't a setup? that you didn't just give us good cookies yesterday so you could poison me today. But he took the cookies. This went on each day, with Michael watching for him and handing off cookies. And then the end of the week, it finally reached a point where when the bully saw Michael coming, he started screaming and he ran off. Leave me alone! A strange outcome to bullying. Bullying has become a serious problem. You see it in the news, you see it everywhere. Today, even on the front page, another story. The one about the Rutgers student, the one who bullied his roommate to the point that the roommate dived off a bridge to his death. We see too many stories like that. And it's a real concern, a concern for all of us, for our kids and their schools. I was doing some research about bullying and the statistics related to it, and I was stunned to find out that something like 60% of middle school students say they have been bullied. Strangely, only about 16% of the staff believe that students are bullied. Another scary number. Did you know that 160,000 students stay home from school every single day due to bullying? And 30% of students who reported they'd been bullied said that at times they'd even brought weapons to school. These are kids bringing weapons to school. 30%. Another scary statistic. Did you know a bully is 6 times more likely to be incarcerated by the age of 24? 6 times. And a bully is also 5 times more likely to have a serious criminal record when he or she grows up, although most of them are guys. 2/3 of students who are targets, hear this, 2/3 of students who are the targets of bullies end up becoming bullies themselves. And 20% of all high school students say that they have seriously considered suicide within the last 12 months related to bullying. 25% of students say that teachers intervened in bullying incidents, while 71% of teachers say that they intervene. So in other words, students are not even getting the help that they feel they need. The average child, though, stop and think about it. As we're wondering where this violence is coming from, the average child is said to have watched about 8,000 televised murders and 100,000 acts of violence before even finishing elementary school. Can you imagine? They're seeing violence everywhere. And this is just even on TV or online. And in schools, though, where there are bullying programs, that bullying is reduced by half. So do you think it's important that something be done, that action be taken? I think so. Here's another frightening thought. We hear about these situations and shootings in schools. Did you know that bullying was a factor in at least 2/3 of 37 school shootings when they were reviewed by the U.S. Secret Service? 2/3 of those incidents were by kids who were bullied and felt desperate and angry, and who responded in kind. There are millions of dollars that are being spent to try to eliminate, but it's still going on. The costs are enormous trying to address the violence. But here's another sad study. But here's something really sad. A study was done of 432 gifted students in 11 states. 2/3 of these academically talented 8th graders admitted to being bullied. And sadly, too, 1/3 of these students all harbored violent thoughts. Bullying is taking its toll on our society and our children. But it doesn't stop there. It's also what's called a silent epidemic in the workplace. It's not just kids that are experiencing bullying, it's adults as well. There was a paper published in Psychology Today about this, and it talked about how workplace bullying has become the silent epidemic, one that has huge hidden costs again in terms of well-being and health and productivity. It said that bullies often involve others using many tactics, such as blaming for errors, unreasonable work demands, insults, put-downs, stealing credit, threatening job loss, and discounting accomplishments. And of these workers, they say something of 35% of workers experienced bullying firsthand. That's a lot. Over a third of people in the workplace are also experiencing bullying. And the vast majority of those who are doing the bullying are bosses and managers, supervisors, and executives. So it's disturbing when you realize that there is such a lack of awareness even among our leaders. And when bullying can be kind of tossed aside as just child hijinks, it's not. It's more than that. So what do we do? What are the answers? I saw another story this week about resources that are being used in schools. And they're called, Are You a Bully? The starting place is for each of us to look at ourselves. We may not always be able to change others, but every change starts with us. And it starts with looking at who we are and understanding, are we a source of bullying or a recipient? Either way, it requires action on our part and requires change. If we are one of those that are being bullied, one of the key issues, as shown in our scripture this morning, is, as counterintuitive as it may sound, we are not to retaliate. That story that was shared earlier is more than just a story. That little boy grew up with the guidance and love and wisdom of his parents, and he eventually became a minister. But based on the statistics, if he had not had somebody in his life who was paying attention, who was there to point him a different direction, who was there with wisdom to guide him, he could have very easily have ended up a bully himself. So first of all, we need to be aware. And if we ourselves are engaged in bullying behavior, we need to know, we need to confess it, and we need to stop. Sometimes those things come about because we ourselves have been bullied or we ourselves have been pushed. And that's something we see as a way to survive. But it's not helping us to survive. It's getting in the way. Another thing that we need to do is to remember that we are not to respond in kind. I know that a lot of the scripture at times seems counterintuitive, something pie in the sky nice, but not realistic in this world. But I have found from personal experience, as I've shared with you many times, the lessons taught in our scriptures are not just hypothetical, nice things to do. These are things that actually work, that actually change the scenario. And when we mix it up, when we do not respond in kind, do not allow ourselves to stoop to bad behavior, it changes the mix. It changes the dynamics. It can really radically change everything. Finally, as you look around in the way you deal with people, remember that old saying that your mom or your grandma probably used to tell you, kill them with kindness, remember that? Well, my friends, the best way to deal with abuse and bad behavior is to be not only not responding, but to be responding as Christ would, with kindness, with a whole different way of being. And so, my friends, when you come across these situations, you too can make a difference. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your love, a love that changes everything, and we pray that you would give us the courage to use that love to change bad behaviors. Help us to be sensitive to what's going on around us. Help us to see and help us to be part of the solution and not the problem. In Jesus' name, amen.